الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. 2 weeks ago we introduced the subject of تربية, particularly in the context of sexual health education for children. We focused more so on the issue of masturbation as well. And as I mentioned, it would be important to address that issue in the context of marriage. Now, last week, we did talk also about how, against the clear teachings of Islam, marriage has been rendered another difficult process. And this is because of the warped customs and the conventions and the unrealistic expectations associated with it in our contemporary world. When we approach marriage from the point of view of pristine Islam, we find less and less people being forced to exercise, you know, the type of exceptional rulings associated with masturbation, for example, addressing these natural sexual impulses in a more wholesome and fundamentally beneficial way. It's important to remember that by confining sex to marriage, this represents the cornerstone of not just personal health, but also social health, psychological health, emotional health. Human life is sacred. People are not animals. We are designed to become higher and more gracious beings. Allah has a greater intent for us. In Islam, just as marriage is sacred, sex, intimacy is also sacred. It is not only a bodily urge. It's motivated also by a spiritual desire, the need to overcome our isolation, the need to become one, for want of better words, with another human being in love. So male and female complement and balance each other. This is Allah's intent in the universe. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا أَوْ خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. That Allah has created from it, in other words, from the male, its spouse, the female, as a complement to the other. And the child ultimately is the fruit of that unity. So in the act of procreation, we actually become surrogates for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become the mechanism or the means by which life is created. Now obviously, this spiritual need cannot be fulfilled by casual sex. And this includes masturbation. Promiscuity is the antithesis of love. When we have love, we don't feel the need to roam around. So sex or intimacy belongs in a committed loving relationship. And by definition then, that mitigates the need for sexual release through masturbation, for example. The act of love, the act of physical intimacy, of sexual intimacy, expresses essentially our fundamental spiritual need to overcome what some describe as ego isolation. So sex or intimacy with one's spouse, with one's wife, manifests the union of two people in love. Allah is the source of all love. The union is marriage. By definition, the act of love is sacred first, and it's about relationship with another. It's about also exclusivity with that other, and it's about privacy, which is what the other guarantees. Now, this is the intimacy that we all seek. We are looking for release, essentially, from the cage of the ego, of the nafs. We need to be accepted. We need to be cherished by another human being to give love. And this is the precursor of discovering divine love. From Eros, we attain to agape. We attain to divine communion. Now, this environment where we can be ourselves and cherished for who we are is essential to our emotional and also to our spiritual growth. And this is nikah. This is marriage. This is not masturbation. This is not promiscuity. That represents the antithesis of the Islamic ideal associated with love and sexuality and intimacy. But unfortunately, they're very powerful political and economic forces. These forces are opposed to love. They're opposed to nikah. They're opposed to marriage. They're opposed to family. They prefer that people remain isolated and dysfunctional, to remain vulnerable to manipulation and to sexual cues. They are imposing their immorality on us. So although you find that academic studies conclude that committed married people are happier, they get more sex, for example, marriage is rarely portrayed in positive terms. Instead, we are taught that relationships are based only on sexual attraction, and we are bombarded with pornography. We are conditioned to always be on the lookout. We are directed to be in a state of perpetual courtship, and that's essentially what modern life has become in the context of sex and intimacy. We are in a state of perpetual courtship. Casual sex, including masturbation, is promoted as a substitute for love, as a substitute for marriage, in fact, as a substitute for family. And as inevitably, we find ourselves becoming frustrated. We find ourselves becoming bored with this status quo. The sexual drumbeat, as we become more frustrated and more bored, becomes louder. It becomes then more perverted. And with that also, it becomes more public. It's no longer a private, sacred act of intimacy, which is what obviously intimacy by definition means. It becomes public lewdness. But it's only when that sacred mystical union in nikah, in marriage, it's only when that occurs, that people become whole, they become consummate. Through the consummation of marriage, people actually become whole. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that through marriage you fulfill half your faith. This is the source of the intimacy we seek, of the spiritual mission also that we aim to fulfill. So all human beings are looking for the self-transcendence, for this wholeness, as I mentioned. And the only way this can be found is through love. Union with another human being, in other words. So sex expresses the sacred union, this marriage. That's why sex is private. And also that's why masturbation, for example, is regarded with disapproval. Now, if you look at women, for a healthy woman, in the context of sex and sexuality, sex is an act of self-surrender. It's the ultimate gift that she can bestow. It's an expression of a love and of a commitment. Self-surrender is the key, in fact, to her sexual satisfaction as well. A woman does not make the sacrifice lightly. You find that trust is the essence of a love. She trusts her husband to look after her best interests. She then chooses her husband very carefully. So femininity is the art of self-effacement. A feminine woman puts her husband and her children's welfare ahead of herself. She puts it also ahead of her career. She's rewarded by their love. She's rewarded by their devotion. She is the nucleus of the nuclear family. A woman's sacrifice is, in fact, how love enters this world. It makes a man want to reciprocate. It makes a man want to sacrifice for his family. So this selfless love gives both the man and the woman meaning and purpose. Remember that we're young, and we're sexually attractive, but that's for a very relatively short period of time. It's love. It's at muhabba. Ja'ala baynahum muhabbata wa rahma. Excuse me if I've made an error there. It's that love and that mercy that Allah talks about after that initial sexual attraction or infatuation that warms our hearts. And that is the case for the better part of our lives. It is that love and the warmth that gives our life the true joy and the color that we enjoy, that we delight in. No wonder that the enemies of love, the friends of shaitan, many of our political and cultural leaders, so-called leaders, want to destroy this healthy, I hate using this word, but nevertheless, heterosexual marriage, heterosexual intimacy. There is only one natural way, and that is between a man and a woman. They, in fact, want to murder the soul. When sex is confined to marriage, you find that it means that you don't do it. You don't enter into an intimate relationship unless you really care about the other person. The spiritual or the human element was guaranteed when people had this wholesome and healthy attitude towards sex and intimacy. It ensured that men and women considered marriage, and obviously family by extension, as the natural step in their development, which is really what it is. Today, the sex partner has become a temporary convenience. The woman is a sex aid. The man, to use a funny expression, is like a vibrator. Sex is glorified masturbation, basically. Marriage is postponed indefinitely. So thanks to modern sexual liberation, everyone is really a potential sexual partner. All human relationships have been degraded to sex alone. No one is off limits, even, in fact, children. Everyone you meet is a potential sex partner or a predator. But when sex was confined to marriage, people could relax. People could be comfortable with each other. They could relate to each other on a mature plane, on a dignified plane. In fact, on a higher plane, as human beings, not just as sexual predators. But we find that there are these wicked, evil, shaitani, invisible forces who want to, well, depopulate the world. They want to destabilize society by promoting gender confusion, what we call feminism, and homosexual dysfunction. And I define dysfunction as arrested development. It's caused by the inability to form a permanent bond, a significant, relevant bond with a member of the opposite sex. Now, sex is mistaken for love, like I said, and it replaces it. It thereby assumes a deceptive importance. We are obsessed with it. We judge people strictly by their sex appeal. In fact, we're cruelly indifferent to those who are not physically attractive. Women then get eating disorders. The aged are treated with contempt. And then we compensate for failure to find permanent love by making a public display of promiscuity. And masturbation becomes the quick fix. It becomes the coward's escape from the overwhelming social, spiritual, and religious prerogative, no doubt, but also responsibility that we assume as human beings, as agents of Allah in this earth. Now, this is supposed to be, unfortunately, a sign of freedom or identity, this promiscuity, this failure, for want of better words, to find permanent love, this public display of sexuality is perceived in this modern twisted world as freedom, identity. And the TV and movies testify to this perverse trend. In many cases, in fact, even homosexuals are now defining heterosexual norms. In contrast, heterosexual marriage is exclusive. It's private by nature. It's concerned with procreation. It's concerned with nurturing. It's concerned with personal development. But these invisible powers are neutering society. Tolerating homosexuality is no longer enough. We are now required to experiment with it. Heterosexual marriage is equated with homosexual marriage, as if being homosexual and heterosexual were the same. Feminism also is a mask for lesbianism. It teaches women to usurp the male role and to spurn, in fact, to hate the female one. It teaches women essentially to hate femininity. Universities then instruct young women to fear men, not to love men, to fear children. A feminist family law, which is what we are saturated in today, fosters fatherless families, essentially. And there's no question that sick people control the world. They control the media, and they've created this unhealthy imbalance in society. So married Muslims shouldn't confuse equality with equal power. Equality means that both partners have an equal right to dignity and self-fulfillment. But this is achieved in different ways. Marriage union involves an exchange of female worldly power, essentially for male love. In one, you know, manner of speaking. Essentially, the woman says, I will obey you, which is what the Quran instructs, which is what the Prophet ﷺ instructs, that ata'at ba'laha, a woman obeys her husband. The man says, I will love you as a consequence. So these two people become one. Of course, he consults her, shawirhum fil amr, consult them in matters, and this includes our woman. Because how else can one love a woman when you don't really seriously consider, well, her opinion? So the two people become one, no doubt, but he consults her. A woman then demonstrates her feminine power in many ways, in myriad ways, by her warmth, her beauty, her grace, her personality, her intelligence, her innovation, her industrial, you know, ways, management, her devotion to her family. In marriage, a woman entrusts her power to her husband. And this is the only kind of woman a man will take a permanent interest in, and that's a fact. And this is because she's part of him. She's like his right arm. You know, a writer said, a man doesn't spoil his right arm, but he treats it very, very well. He understands that it's a very important component of his functionality. And this is essentially what a woman becomes. And this is the unity most men seek. It's a source of love. It's a source of stability. And it's possible only when intimacy, when sexual fidelity, when sex is reserved for marriage. It's an expression of a profound devotion and commitment to a higher principle. Now, Karl Marx once remarked that under atheist socialism, women would also be publicly owned. And the question we need to ask is, isn't this what has already happened? Feminism promised to empower women. In fact, women have become public property. Economically, they are cogs in the machine. Young women are taught to hate marriage, to avoid it at all costs, to remain independent, so-called, and to seek satisfaction not in marriage, not in love, not in children, not in husbands, but rather in careers. Sexually, young women are a commodity on auction to the highest bidder. At a young age, in sex education classes, their dignity, their privacy, their natural modesty stripped away. They are given role models like Miley Cyrus, Britney Spears, whose act is, in fact, pure striptease. It's prostitution. When contraceptives fail, they, the young girls, and their babies become wards of the public services. In contrast, if you look at the traditional view of woman, in the Islamic view of woman, her sexuality is firstly private. It's reserved for marriage. So is her mystery, her intrigue, her deeper self. She is covered. Her nakedness is only an expression of her love. Her spiritual, emotional, and physical selves are in fact all in sync. There's an interesting statement made by Irving Babbitt. He said that when a civilization falls apart, it collapses because of reckless, unfettered sex, or the diminishing of sex. And this is really what modern sexuality, modern promiscuity, modern contempt of marriage, and in fact, what masturbation is. It's a diminishing of sex. And this is why Islam frowns upon it. In spite of some of the provisions, according to some of our scholars, in extreme circumstances, still, it is not our ideal way. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better understanding and wisdom and grant us chastity and fulfillment in marriage and facilitate this noble institution and let us never make, may He never make us obstacles, particularly as parents and elders in society, in frustrating this natural, wholesome human impulse in attaining emotional, spiritual, physical, material, Islamic completeness. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.